Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. College graduation season is upon us. For some, it means getting ready for a great new job. For others, the search is still on. This morning, we'll talk about the job prospects for college graduates. Joining me are University of Cincinnati Career Development Center Associate Director Kevin Hardy, Career Services Director at Northern Kentucky University Bill Froud, and Miami University Interim Director of Career Services and Associate Director for Employer Relations Michael Goldman. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can email your questions to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Certainly glad to have everybody here. I think a great place to start will be just to sort of give each of you a chance to give me your general outlook for college grads this year. And I think we will start with Kevin.
Great. I would say things are very good. The thing that really is our flagship at the University of Cincinnati is our cooperative education program that is really what I would call one of our crown jewel programs that brings a number of hundreds of companies that come to our campus to recruit students in our CCM DAP, CCM College of Conservatory Music, DAP Design, Art, Architecture, and Planning, as well as our College of Engineering. Nationally recognized programs, as well as our criminal justice program. So those cachet programs help us leverage to get some of the best companies possible out there that our students really want to visit with. So with that being said, our outlook for what we've seen, especially in engineering and information technology, are extremely competitive right now, where we're seeing our biggest demand and are also our biggest salaries.
And let me get to the other two in just a moment. Engineering and IT, but what about sort of just the general jobs? I mean, what is it overall? Not the hot jobs, but just overall. Are there some people really having a hard time finding jobs now?
Overall, our statistics of last June's class, around 80% of our students are what we would call occupied 6 months after graduation. So that's
define occupied.
Exactly. Occupied would be anyone who is not seeking employment. So someone's going to grad school, volunteer, military service, anything like that. That's kind of our industry word that we use for anyone who, again, is not seeking employment. But there are our biggest problem that we're having right now is not having students to fill the positions. Companies who are calling me saying, we posted a position and we didn't get any or very few applicants for the positions we posted.
Michael, how about what are you seeing at Miami?
I would agree. It's been a very strong labor market this past year. Our career fairs set records this past year, both in the fall and the spring. We've had over 1,500 different employers visit campus. We had over 5,000 interviews, over 4,000 posted jobs. We're experiencing continued growth, particularly in the Midwest, and we too have employers calling and still seeking recent graduates for open positions. We know in the short term and the long term, there's a structural shortage of talent in many, many industries, and we're trying at Miami to meet the employer's short-term needs and also prepare for those long-term needs that will support the company's growth.
Bill?
I would also agree. The things have really been improving over the last couple of years. It was a little bit of a trough there 5 years ago, and things are certainly moving up. At NKU, the College of Informatics, which is a really unique program in the United States that combines computer science and communications and other IT areas together in a unique way, is really bringing in employers. They're really excited about that college. Also, our College of Business is moving ahead with many new programs, and especially our accounting area is in high demand from employers. So our career fairs have been increasing as well, and we do have the same problem as other gentlemen as far as in certain niche areas, employers are continually knocking at our door for those students.
Well, this is quite encouraging compared to a few years ago. You're all saying it's really not that difficult. Are students finding those jobs right away? Are they? I know when I was in school, the accounting majors, for example, and this is back in the 80s, if I can date myself a little bit, were always, you know, they had their jobs in December. They knew they were going to be working in June. Is that true now, or is it more that those jobs are coming closer to graduation?
Yeah, I would say very much so. In fact, every year, kind of the expert in our field, Phil Gardner from Michigan State University, presents right around Thanksgiving time, kind of the recruiting trends, if you will. And the past 2 years, he has said that many of the students or companies who are going to offer full-time are offering full-time offers to students 60 to 65% of the time before November 1st. So a lot of students are getting those offers early on in the year, exactly like you said in the 80s with accounting, very similar to what's going on, because for some of the companies in the high demand niche areas, you gotta be competitive, you gotta get them early or they're gonna be gone by the time you start looking.
And they get them, many of those areas, they get them through co-ops and internships. So the employers are going after those students often as sophomores. We have sophomores, especially in our IT area, that do a co-op. And many of those students stay with that organization for while they're in school, and then they get hired right away. They get the job offers right out of school.
I would agree. Employers are identifying talent much earlier than they had before. About 70% on average of Miami students have a traditional internship. Almost 100% have an internship or an equivalent experience. And employers more and more are using those to convert student interns into full-time employees. The conversion rate remains very high for our students, as it does for other universities. And the time from interview to offer is 24 days on average. Having come from the private sector myself, that telescopes significantly the traditional recruitment process. So it's a very efficient process for employers. And because of Miami's value proposition, they're continuing to look for our students to meet their talent needs.
Let's talk a little bit about those internships and how they all get started. And are these internships often paid these days? I mean,
absolutely.
Most, and I work in broadcasting, but ours were never paid, and we don't pay interns here. But so they are paid. So the students are able to actually earn some money while they're in school.
For the most part. Many universities, Miami included, scrutinizes internships very carefully to ensure that when they should be paid, if it's a for-profit company, that the students are being paid. There is still a tradition of unpaid internships in the not-for-profit sector because many of those students can be treated as volunteers. But more and more, we're trying to provide stipends to those students so they can have the same experience as students are having in for-profit companies. But there's so much scrutiny now, both legally and within career services, of the whole issue of unpaid versus paid internships. And it's an issue that is top of mind for professionals like us and our students.
And Marianne, to add on to that piece, we have an academic internship program. And one of the things that we have done is tracked, and I guess it's really a communication piece, in the sense of when a company's coming saying, we're looking for someone, an internship, it's not paid, we'll say, we'll put it out there for you, but your chances of getting someone are very slim. Whereas the companies who are paying tend to get them. We found that of our non-paid internships, about 82% of them went unfilled. So again, a small percentage of the unpaids are actually being found by students.
But of course, it also does depend on the field, as you had mentioned. And so if just like Kevin was saying, if it's a for-profit organization, they are definitely at a disadvantage if they don't pay. But if it's a nonprofit, and if it's the only way that the student can get their foot in the door with that organization, sometimes they have to go through that door, like you said that you did yourself when you were starting out.
Let's talk about education. In some of the research I saw, we're still where an awful lot of people are graduating with education majors. They want to be teachers. Student teaching, that's not paid, is it? Or is it?
No.
It is not a paid experience, though.
Mm-hmm. But no. That counts as an internship?
It is a very valuable experience.
Extremely valuable experience.
There was a time when students with an education degree were having a really hard time finding jobs. What about education degrees now? Are there jobs for teachers?
There are jobs for teachers. We have a teacher job fair at NKU, as well as we participate in the Southwest Ohio Northern Kentucky Education Career Fair, which is a consortium of several of the local colleges here, and UC is one of them. And I know Miami also has their own teacher job fair. So we had quite a bit of demand from school systems to come and network. They are being picky. It just depends on what their openings are. And sometimes when they come to the career fairs in the spring, they don't know yet if they have jobs, but they're still coming to network because those jobs often pop open late. And my wife's a teacher, and they sometimes pop open as late as August or even the beginning of September. And they don't know for sure what the funding is gonna be. But if the students are flexible as to where they're willing to go, that's the key to it. If you are somebody that, if you are an education major and you insist on going and wanting to work in the school system that you went to school in, you may be limiting yourself. And that's really the case in all job search areas. If you're really limiting yourself geographically, that does often reduce your opportunities.
We've seen very strong demand this year for teachers. We had over 40 school districts at our spring teacher fair. We are seeing school districts. We had school districts from Georgia, Alaska, wherever there's growth in the economy and high level retirement of teachers, they're very interested in our students. We're also seeing some education graduates who are interested in alternative careers outside of the classroom. And many employers are interested in those students in the publishing industry, communications industry, in sales, in training, in corporate environments. So there are so many opportunities for our students, given how uniquely they're prepared at Miami, that we just have to introduce them to the opportunities and introduce employers to them.
Do you find that students, while they may be getting jobs, are finding themselves underemployed to some extent? Yeah, they're working, but they really want to be working in their field and they're doing landscaping, or they want to be working in their field and they're working as a receptionist or various other types of jobs? Or do you think people are finding jobs that they're actually looking for, that they've been trained for?
Yeah, I would say coming back from what's happened to the economy in the past 5 years, I would say absolutely there's been some of that. I think that we are getting away from that and people are getting better salary positions in their fields. And that's something that we track as far as people finding an employment and then were they finding the employment in their field. And we're finding that anywhere between 70 to 95% of students, when they accept that full-time job, it is something that's related to their field. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that brings up the issue of, now, are they being paid what they might have been paid before the recession? Again, a couple years ago probably wasn't as good, but now I think we're seeing those salaries increase. Our industry, the National Association of Colleges Employers, is also seeing the tick up of salaries, and we're also seeing that here locally at the University of Cincinnati.
Actually, NAICS mentioned National Association, as Kevin was saying, said the average starting salary, and again, that's lumping everybody together, so that's not really fair, but average starting salary being $44,000, almost $45,000, which is up 5% over last year. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely moving forward, but that's a national statistic.
I think all of us are trying to provide students and parents more information about outcomes when they graduate. At Miami, we're spending more and more time analyzing our graduation survey data. And we're showing, and most universities look back a year, and then we're showing that 80% of our students who graduated in the last 2 years, if you aggregate them, 80% are employed, nearly all within their major, and the balance is in graduate school, professional or graduate school. But we're going to drill down even deeper with this particular graduation survey and with the follow-on surveys with recent graduates to understand even better the patterns that they're following once they graduate. And because parents and students are asking those questions now more than ever.
And I'm going to add on to that. In the President's State of the Union address, he talked about the implementation of colleges and universities developing a scorecard so that parents and prospective students have the data so they know, if I'm going to this school, what sort of job am I going to have? What are the employment statistics? With rising tuition, every university is going to be held much more accountable. And for many of those, it's the folks that are in the career development, career services area, because that is kind of their last transition as they do move on to the workplace.
This college scorecard has now been posted, but the gainful employment measure won't go into effect until next year. So what parents have is graduation rates, retention rates, average cost of tuition, and student debt. you know, at Miami, we're, our graduation rate's around 81%, and we have 89% retention rate. And I think the average student has to repay about $196 a month upon graduation. We have very high average earnings upon graduation, some of the highest in the country. So you put all that together, and that's what the parents and students are looking at in terms of what value is an institution providing my child. And more and more, and I think I can speak for all three of us, we're having those conversations with parents now. And we need to be equipped with that information more than ever.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about college graduates and their job prospects. My guests, University of Cincinnati Career Development Center Associate Director Kevin Hardy, Career Services Director at Northern Kentucky University Bill Froud, and Miami University Interim Director of Career Services and Associate Director for Employer Relations Michael Goldman. If you have a question, email us, impact@wvxu.org. You also can post it on our Facebook page.
Support comes from Queen City Glass Arts, presenting Friday Night Blows, where their team of glass blowers will create a superhero pig out of molten glass to support Artwork's mission. Friday Night Blows, open to the public Friday, May 31st from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Brazy Street Studios in Oakley. More information at queencityglassarts.com.
Support comes from Merchants of Main Street over the Rhine, presenting their final Friday gallery walk this Friday from 6 to 10 p.m. Participating shops and galleries include Park and Vine, Art Academy, Clay Street Press, Atomic No. 10, Smartfish Studios, 1305 Gallery, Original Thought Required, Lozanaville Works, Urban Eden, Couture Couture, Frame Shop, and You Do Yoga.
Support for the State House News Bureau stories on WVXU comes from the law offices of Porter, Wright, Morris, and Arthur, LLP. Helping businesses and individuals solve complex legal problems throughout Ohio, across the country, and around the world. On the web at porterwright.com.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7. I'm Mary Ann Zalesnik talking with representatives from NKU, UC, and Miami about the job prospects for recent college graduates. And generally, we're hearing they're pretty good right now, that things are going well. People are finding jobs. You talked just recently a lot about parents and their concern about where they're sending their children to school. And tell us more about the role of parents as students start to find jobs. I think sometimes you hear more about the helicopter parenting situation. What role should parents play when it comes to students finding a job?
I think they definitely need to be an active participant in the selection of the student's college. All right, I'll give you a specific example. A student's parent called me, maybe 3 months ago, looking at prospective schools, and they wanted to know some of our employment statistics, the number of people in certain majors, salaries, and I gave them the information for the University of Cincinnati, and they said to me, well, they were comparing us to, again, a couple other schools, not anything here locally, and the statistics were so much different than the University of Cincinnati. I really had to tell them I would probably question if you got a statistic like that, where they said that, you know, 98% of our students are finding employment 6 months after graduation. The salaries were significantly higher than what the University of Cincinnati had and what their national average has. That's where I would tell the parents, when you get something that is too good to be true, it probably is. And that's where I would then ask them to question, how are you getting to this number? What number of people are you polling to get that statistic? Because sometimes there are schools that will be out there that will only capture or report the information that they get from students instead of the in total breadth of all the student data. So again, we're only going to capture essentially the good data that we want to provide.
I was going to say for parents to really encourage your son or daughter to utilize their career services office on campus and to know that there are people on campus that will assist them and give them information and teach them how to go about doing a self-directed job search. Because yes, there are employers that are going after a lot of our college graduates and are really interested in our college, especially certain hot majors. But there are different career fields that you have to go out to the employer. It's so competitive out there in certain areas, as you know, like in radio, TV, or whatever, that you have to learn what's the niche, how do you go about finding a job in TV and radio. And we can teach them how to do that and help them with networking and getting ideas on how to talk to people in your field. For example, I may send a student to you sometime, Marianne, to do an informational interview to find out what advice would you give the student in finding a job in TV or radio. Mm-hmm. So we're there to help them with that. And it's always a marketing effort on our part to convince the students to take advantage of our services. So if a parent can help encourage their son or daughter, every college has a career services office. Please encourage them to use it. And we all have websites. So even if the student has graduated, they can still go in on the website and they can still make appointments to see us, because that's what we're there for.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. At Miami, we're trying to build what we call a career community, where everybody, from parents to alumni to faculty to staff, are actively involved in finding opportunities for our students and preparing them for those opportunities. One of the new strategies for finding internships or jobs is called Clicks and Mix, where you're clicking on the internet and you're mixing with people, either electronically or in person, through networking. And that's where parents can have such a vital role. If you look at the statistics today, according to U.S. Department of Labor's JOLTS report, there's about 4.3 million open unfilled jobs a day. And according to the Conference Board, that does an analysis each month of how many jobs are available online, it's over 5.1 million. As my colleagues know very well, the rule of thumb is that the hidden labor market is almost equivalent to the number of posted positions. So there are millions of available jobs. Not all of them are entry level by any means. But using that clicks and mix strategy and the tools that career services will teach students and the networks that the parents have and friends and faculty and staff have to introduce those students to those opportunities is essential, particularly for students in majors that do not translate directly into career paths.
So as you're talking about that, it reminds me of the old phrase, it's not who you know, it's what you know. And do you think, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Let me get it right. Do you really think that the who you know is helping people now more than what you know, or do you just need both?
I think you need both. You really need to know how to go about getting a job in the field that you're interested in, because there are certain, you know, different paths of getting jobs. You know, there are some jobs where employers are going to come after you for them, but there are other jobs where you really have to go after them. So if you want to work at a historical museum, you need to find out, okay, how do I go about getting that type of position?
I agree. It's both. And we know the skills that employers value the most, and they're taught in a liberal arts environment. Critical thinking, communications, ability to work in teams. But you also have to have those networks that are particularly, particularly important so that you can articulate the value of that education to employers, either within your major or in fields that you may also be interested in.
And in doing that, I think that's why it's so important that all of our universities really push leadership skills and getting involvement in professional organizations, so that if they're in marketing or accounting or engineering, the professional organizations that those students can get involved with that connect them with professionals that they're meeting with on a regular basis that can help get them with their foot in the door. So again, I think it is a combination of really both.
What about graduate work? There are some fields that I think a bachelor's will do you. Others, maybe you need a graduate degree. How critical is a graduate degree at this point?
I think it depends on your chosen career path. As you said, in some, if you want to be a physical therapist or an occupational therapist or a dietitian, for example, you have to go to graduate school. The same holds true for the traditional professions of law and medicine. All of our schools are organized support students. We have a special healthcare advisory center. We have a major for students who are interested in medical careers. And we have very high placement rates for our medical students and our students who are applying to medical school and law school. So we know what works, what doesn't work. And we also know from survey data that there's an increasing demand for students with master level degrees, and that the salaries reflect that demand.
Is one caveat to that as well is, I'm going to go back to Phil Gardner, expert at Michigan State. When he conducted his survey this past year, he asked companies that we're hiring MBA students, undergraduate business students. And he said, if a student's gone right from undergraduate without any experience, and then they've gone and completed their MBA, are you going to pay that student any more now that they have an MBA than you would have 2 years ago or a year ago, depending on the program? And 99% of the company said no, without any sort of experience. So the graduate degree is important as long as the student, and again, some of the fields, as long as the students are getting experience to go along with it.
So in some, to some extent, then perhaps it's better to work for a while and then go back for the MBA.
Correct.
In certain fields.
Yeah, in certain fields, definitely, yes. I think it's really helpful to have that work experience. And then can you, many of our students are working while they're going to school, so it might be a little bit different depending on, you know, if they're a non-traditional student, that it might make sense for them to go directly on to graduate school. But for other traditionally aged students, I think it make more sense to get a couple years in of working and then go back.
With the recession, I think a lot of people found themselves as college graduates with no job, so they decided just to go on. Is there a glut of people with advanced degrees now?
I'm not sure.
I don't think I would say it is overwhelming number, but there are, I would say, more people that do have a higher degree just because of that same reason.
You also talked a lot about geography and people being willing to move around. And of course, all the states want people to stay here. You went to school here. We want you to stay here. Mm-hmm. What if people do want to stay here? What are the jobs prospects sort of in this tri-state Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana area?
The Cincinnati USA Regional Economics Advisory Committee did a big report in November. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. And it was looking that, especially in the Cincinnati area, that healthcare and professional and business services was very strong and coming back, but also manufacturing. Manufacturing was expected to be a real leader, but it's according to updates recently that's been in the Business Courier, it's been lagging a little bit, but it's still positive. It's still net gains from where it's been. And so really the region is moving ahead, and there are opportunities here for the local students, the local graduates, to find positions.
And just shy of 80% of UC graduates find employment in the state of Ohio. We track that statistic, so just shy of 80%.
I would agree. I think in the short term and the longer term, because of the changes in the American economy, the changes in demographics, there will be unique opportunities for all of our students. We know that in the next 10 years, the government projects about 20 million new jobs will be created in the United States, almost 50 million in total when you include replacements from employees who will be retiring. And we know from new technologies, new energy sources, that the economy there's engines for it to grow. And so preparing our students, equipping them with the skills they need to work in cross-disciplinary teams, across industries, utilizing their majors, their leadership experiences, their team experiences, they will be very well positioned for opportunities in this region and outside of this region.
We're out of time. It went quickly. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were University of Cincinnati Career Development Center Associate Director Kevin Hardy, Career Services Director at Northern Kentucky University Bill Froud, and Miami University Interim Director of Career Services and Associate Director for Employer Relations Michael Goldman. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. We had help from Jay Hanselman.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.